Hello, good morning, and welcome. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO, dave@petsofinancial.net, if you prefer email. And in case you just glanced at the clock, you're right. This is not a recording. I am live. We're flip-flopping. We've finally entered into the golf season, and so occasionally there might be a 10 o'clock, like today, tea time that I'm going to make. Hustling, but I'll make it. But I couldn't make it if we had our normal, if you will, playing the recording first. So we're here live. If you have a question, comment, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. You know, it was amazing. A couple things I want to talk about. So my beautiful wife is asking me this morning, what are you going to talk about today? And I said, I don't know. I really don't know yet. Because I can rattle off bullet points. The ISM numbers weren't very good. Jobs were slowing down a little bit, but they were still pretty strong. The Fed burped this thing, that thing, whatever it is, right? And I got to thinking about it, literally as I'm driving in, that's not what's important. None of that is. It really isn't. I mean, we babble about it every single day, but the most important thing to understand about that is it really isn't the driver for stocks. We want to find something every single day. We crave it. A reason why, you know, why, Daddy, the sky is blue. Why? Why did stocks move almost no direction at all today? I want to know. I got to know. There has to be a reason. Often there's not. Most of the time there's not. Almost never a reason it does what they say it does. I mean, they say it's because of the Federal Reserve, fear of interest rates rising more than they should, this number, that number. It's absolute nonsense. Babble. It's just babble. You've heard me say that before. But what I always come back to in times like this is that you can't predict anything. People think they can. People do. They practice digging through all the data points, and here's a data point, there's a data point, the P-E ratio on the S&P 500. Well, here's a data point for you relative to P-E ratios, the most important thing everybody measures the market with. It's averaged 16.5 over the past 20 years. That's about 8 trading days. That it's actually that it's 16.5 out of hundreds of trading days, thousands of trading days over a 20-year period. So it's almost never on the average that everybody quotes as if that's some kind of thing to trade on. And I want to give you another number to think about. So here's this bar at 16.5. And the world looks like this. It looks like that. It's low inflation, high inflation. It's problems. It's recessions. It's all of those things that somehow come in to make this 16.5 average that it almost never is on a day-to-day basis. It's higher. It's lower. It's almost never anywhere near 16.5. And it's quoted all the time. As if it's some kind of a magic trading thing. In 1949, okay, just to give you an idea. In 1949, the P.E. ratio was under 7. That's price-to-earnings ratio. Very, very low. Super bargains. 50 years later, it was at 30 times. How do you do by saying it was expensive or not? When it should have been at, you know, like 16, and it goes to 20, and then floats around there. Earnings are pretty good. How many zillions of dollars did we leave on the sidelines with some arbitrary number of how we're going to trade? So this is what I think about. I think about this kind of thing. Markets don't do normal. We live in an environment now where fear is so high, it's like, we ought to be able to somehow measure it, right? Like, is there a meter, a fear meter? I know there are. People can make up their own. Oh, we're tipping into the red. We've exceeded the red. We're about to boil over. I got it. I mean, it's palpable. It's right there. We all feel it. How's our currency? What's going to happen? Oh, my gosh, the dollar's going to collapse. You can hear more about that in the last 30 minutes with Kevin. It's all we talked about. And apparently, I didn't hear it, but apparently the rest of the program was spent pretty much people calling in and saying, what a dummy I am. I don't really know. I don't think they said I was a dummy. I think, to quote a couple friends of mine, hey, Petzl's pretty smart, but he's wrong about this. In excited, breathless ways. Because we're afraid. We don't talk about the dollar being the world reserve currency, and when could that change and have an intellectual discussion about it. People are like, it's going to all go away. Look what Brazil is doing. Brazil, like, that's really super important. I mean, if Brazil's doing it, wow. That's like almost as good as saying Argentina is going to do something. You know, they'll do something right before they collapse again and again. And again, what has it been in the last 20 years? Three collapses of their currency? I think they're working on their fourth right now. I'm not making this up. It just rolls from one to the other. What would I possibly care about Brazil, 20,000% inflation Brazil? Unbelievably corrupt Brazil. Hop in bed with China, Brazil. That's a great idea. Man, who doesn't want to do that? I don't care. And I'm not here to talk about currency. Please don't. Let's not do it today, okay? Let's just not do it today. Leave it alone. All I'm saying is that we can't even have a discussion about currency. And then we roll on to all this weird woke stuff. Men can't have babies, period. End of story. Anybody else that says so is just stupid beyond comprehension. Not part of a conversation. But this goes out there, and we look at our world and go, I don't understand it anymore. And these are the people that are, quotes, in charge. The most incompetent administration in all of history. I don't know. Maybe back in 1833, there was some kind of administration that was even worse. But I doubt it. I doubt it. There's been plenty of incompetent people throughout government. But the vastness of this and the openness of checking boxes and not checking the box of competence is remarkable. It truly is. It's way too important to only do the box of black, white, hey, I cut my thing off, and so I want to be a girl. That kind of thing, okay? Unbelievable. No, I can't believe I said that either, actually, but I did. It's amazing to me how upside down it is, and it makes us feel that way. And so we're all in this fear, and so what do? With our raw emotions just being ripped apart? Because they are. They are every single day. Is inflation real? Oh, it's coming down. It's near zero, JoJo says. JoJo can't find the doorknob. What the heck? I'm serious. This isn't just funny. This is the most powerful man in the world. This is our leader. How can we have confidence when our leaders look like that? When the most powerful leaders in the world clearly are evil dictators in China and Russia. And our guy can't find the doorknob. Every decision he's made, everywhere, all the time, is wrong. It's wrong. It's unbelievable. Bob Gates, out of the Obama administration, said it best. Joe Biden has been on the wrong side of every major foreign policy decision for the last 40 years. And it continues, whether it's Afghanistan, Iran, please, 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 can we give you billions of dollars more so you can build nuclear weapons? I think we should do that. The world's on fire. JoJo's in charge. How do we fix it? We don't. So I always come back to, I don't want the government fixing things. I'm buying corporations when I'm thinking of markets. I'm thinking of basics. Back to basics. We talked about this a lot. But what I do is I look at this and I go, markets don't do normal. Okay, I'm not just cherry-picking 1949. The point of 1949, is whether it's or 59 or whatever it is, and P.E. ratios were at 10, is that you don't know, and they're not normal. You can't draw a line and say, well, price-to-earnings ratios are here, and when interest rates are this or that, equals market should go higher or lower. We play this game all the time. So when things are fearful and scary and terrible and it feels like my gut is upset, there's something wrong here. And there is. I'm not denying it. There's something terrible wrong. We tend to react in an all or none way. I got to get out of the market, meaning all out. No. Why all out? Why all or none? Why am I going to be right when I'm almost always wrong? We feel that way. Because we don't want to, quotes. These are my air quotes. Lose any money. As if Apple going down 10 points and me waiting for it to come back and go to all-time highs again is losing money. Not sure how that is, but when we get back to basics and we think about it, we think about these types of things. When you slice and dice the market, like down 20%, down, 10 to 20%, how often the market is normal? What's normal, right? We know what normal is, right? It's 10. 10 is the average. How many times in the last 100 years do you think the market has finished the year anywhere between 8 and 12%. That's a pretty big range, right? Square in the middle is what the long-term average is. Because that's what we all talk about. That's what we think about. That's what we quote all the time is the average. And the best people about it is to babble a lot about, let's just do this again. P.E. ratios, inverted yield curves, and all those things, currency fluctuations. And I know, your head's spinning, mine too, hate it. We have our own dialogue, and then we spin out all these things and say, so we at Goldman Sachs think that the market's probably going to go up about 7 to 9% this year. They say it every year, every single year. And what I'm going to tell you is that 10 is not normal. It's the average, and it's only been hit 6 times. Now, let's reflect on that a little bit. 100 years, 6 times has it been between 8 and 12%. Anywhere near what we say is normal, what Goldman Sachs tells you the market's going to do. And same with JP Morgan, UBS, and all the others, because they don't want to be different. Shh. That's how you lose your job on Wall Street. Shh. Little secret. Everybody think together. Speak together. Then you can keep your job. 6 times. 6 times. Do you know it's over 20 times? Over 20. The biggest percentage time of any of them is 20% or more. Markets, when they go up, they go way up. And by the way, they go up most years, not down. Not down. Nope. You know what the second most is? 12 to 20%. That's right. Markets don't do normal. And we're always quoting normal. We're always talking about P.E. ratios are a certain level. Markets can do this, can't do that. Moving averages, baloney.
Well, there's this 3,100 looks to be like a resistance line. Well, we blew through that this morning. The next resistance line, as if there's some kind of line in numerology.
Like all of a sudden the traders go, whoa, we're at 3201 on the S&P. We've got to stop buying. This is a sell point right here. And then when it doesn't, we make up the next line. We just make it up on the fly. And nobody's over there tallying in the corner. Wrong, 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 right, wrong, right, right, wrong, wrong, wrong. Nobody. Nobody. We just fly over to the floor of the exchange. What do you think now? Well, I think it, blah, blah, blah. We have to predict every single day instead of stopping and going, markets aren't normal. They're not. They don't do normal. Maybe it's because human beings aren't, quotes, normal. We're emotional creatures. We love. Love is not even logical. It's not even logical. Oh, well, animals do. No, they don't. They have an instinct to protect the newborn, and then they kick them out. You think they come by with the grandkids? No. They're trying to leave a legacy? Nope. No, but I know. Doggies are certain special things, and cats and all those. I get it, okay? We're different. We are so different, and we get so emotional about things. And we think that the world should fit in some logical pattern. That's kind of like weather, you know. Nobody can ever talk about weather because it has to be climate change. If not, you're a denier. Probably a racist, too. It's just so loud. Everything is so disagreeable and loud. And it is on Wall Street, too. Like, everybody has to be so right and stomp their opponents. It's amazing. Getting back to basics when we're in an environment like this is so important. You just understand that, well, what do I do now, Dave? Okay. Markets don't do normal. Got it. Okay. All right. Got that point. Then just, we try to be normal in abnormal. They're never normal. Whatever we're in, we think that's normal. But it's not. It'll change tomorrow, and we'll have a new normal. What we know when we think about these things is that the people that have performed best with their portfolios, the best of all people, I know you know, what I'm going to say. Men or women, college educated, professors, people that didn't get through high school, all divided up. One group and only one group performed any better than any other by any significant measure. And that's the people that forgot they had an account or died. Same thing. I didn't even know I had an account. So what did they do? They left it alone. But that's not what we do, because we're really smart. And we live in echo chambers that are just delightful little places to make sure that we have more data about what we already believe. Beautiful. Perfect. And I know some are more stupid than others. I got it. That is the ones that, you know, you don't listen to, those echo chambers. The ones you don't listen to, those are the stupid ones. They're more stupid. But we got to be careful with that, don't we? We talk about things like consumer confidence. And when consumer confidence is down, we all feel down. And I know how I feel. Don't tell me how I feel. This is how I feel. It's not wrong. Because those are your feelings. That's what we're told all the time, right? That's how we have to live now. This is how I feel. You understand me. Okay? But what if it's stupid? Don't tell me I'm stupid. I feel how I feel. Fair enough. But what if it is wrong all the time? Our feelings mislead us. Should we have guide rails that kind of help us stay on the road? Or do we just go ahead and say, those are my feelings. You need to honor them. But no, you can't. No buts. The problem we run into with that is that our feelings are always wrong, collectively. What I mean is that as we think about consumer confidence, the most powerful overall feeling of how the economy is, how do consumers feel about spending money? How are they feeling about the year coming ahead? And whenever we get those peaks of that kind of pessimism, it's the most perfect contrary indicator to what happens in the stock market. It's perfect. It's not perfect for next week. This is where everybody goes wrong. We always expect, oh, I'm reading about this right now, so everything's bad, so it's going to be bad tomorrow. The peak of pessimism, and markets have huge increases, in the period after. Our feelings are wrong. Okay? I'll honor your feelings so you feel better. Don't go away crying. I honor your feeling that the currency will collapse. Okay? I'm here to tell you it's not a reason not to own Apple and spend all of your time deciding how it's all going to end. That's the truth. You don't have to hear it. We can allow our emotions to rip through and know what you know, because you've been spending a lot of time in that echo chamber getting lots of data about how our currency has no more time on this earth. It's going to collapse. So keep digging in. Keep reading. Peak of pessimism has been the most perfect contrary indicator I can find. I'm sure there's others along the same lines. But what I'm saying is this. If we are in this terrible soup of fear, which we are, market has no reason to go higher. What do I do? Well, I'm going to leave it hanging, and we're going to give you some ideas because I'm way over. That's my teaser to stick around. But our number is 580-5436-580-KIDO. It's Dave at PetsoFinancial.net. We'll be right back. Hello, good morning. Welcome. We got a couple ideas coming up, but whenever we get calls, we like to take those. I'll talk about it a little bit, what to do if you're really scared. Just need to know what to do. And I've said this for 40 years, but we got to stop sitting around and thinking that's all or none. That's what we do. Like, do I need to be in cash? Which means what? Do I need 5% more cash? No. You know what people have? I need all of it. Got to sell it all. Why? When we do that, we've gone so far. How do you get back? I know you can't time the market, but I can. That's what the bottom line. That's what the bottom line is. But I can't. You know. But I mean, I'm. You know. A little. Okay. I think I can. You're right. Caught me. It's what people do. We all do it. I feel terrible. And we do. It's all real. All right, let's go to the phones. It's 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Terry, welcome.
Well, good morning, Professor.
Good morning, sir.
You were talking about all the weird, high weirdness and everything, and it just sort of struck me that when we invested, because there was some consistency and certainty out there in the government, the markets, the world, the overtime, the 10% you keep talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But lately, the rule of law and due process has been prostituted.
Yes.
We used to be able to depend upon what the markets, you know, that the markets had the law behind them, that if something went bad or, well, like GM went bankrupt and the bondholders took a haircut.
Right.
But the unions came out full. They had all of their retirement covered. That changed the rule of law, the way the rule of law used to work.
True.
So that again, the government picking winners and losers and doing it, executive orders like no more gas-powered vehicles by 2030 and such like this.
Yeah, complete made-up numbers that nobody has any power over. Technology will be what it is, period. End of story. We all want electric cars. Why not? I mean, the only thing you miss is the rumble of it, right? That's why some people like the old muscle cars. That's
it. I miss the guy with the generator down in California behind his shed at a charging station.
Exactly. But
until they get the infrastructure, we're screwed having electric cars. What are we going to do?
Correct.
Not go anywhere. I was re-listening to last week's show, and the guy talking about CBDCs, you know, the central bank digital currencies, they'll have control.
Mm-hmm.
You are not allowed to recharge your car because you went too far out of your area.
Right. Right.
Again, who's got control? Some amorphous government agency or the market? I'll let the market and a bunch of smart fellows like you handle it.
I think so, because collectively we're a whole lot smarter than any committee anywhere in determining what's right for Dave Petso, for Terry,
dromedary.
For whoever.
That's how we got it. That's how we got a dromedary versus a camel. A committee got there.
Yeah. You're right. There's no question that some things have changed. I'm going to tell you, I just finished an incredibly good book in my mind. It's called Killing the Mob. It's one of the killing series for O'Reilly.
Yeah.
You go back to and you think about how corrupt J. Edgar Hoover was and all of these files and everything. This is not new. Corrupt Justice Department, corrupt FBI is not new. It comes and goes. It ebbs, it flows. What we have is a complete takeover of the Justice Department by Obama's administration is still there. It doesn't mean they're there for life. I don't think they're full of J. Edgar Hoovers that are going to make sure they're entrenched for life. But it was interesting to me, the lawlessness, the connection to the JFK White House, all of those things are phenomenal to think about today. And so I don't think we're stuck in this like it's never occurred before, that we can't get back our Justice Department, that we can't rely on the FBI to be the Boy Scouts. We can get there again. We did it. We flushed it. Got a good FBI, appeared to be good Justice Department. Not everybody's perfect, but by and large, I think most people felt like we had an honest justice system that is now completely dishonest. And maybe this whole Trump thing is the pinnacle of stupidity of how it's lit. It has to be totally flushed. That these people need to be gotten rid of.
Yeah, the Justice Department and such, and the bureaucracy has lost perspective.
Yeah,
they don't know what some of us poor old deplorables out here are willing to do to get it back the way it ought to be.
You know, you think about I think about the insular echo chamber nature, and we've all ran into people, even some people here in Boise that slipped out. You know, I was the ambassador to so and so. Therefore, what? You're like the most privileged. Now you're the smartest person, and the people in Arkansas are too stupid to even deal with. We need to tell them how to live life. Okay,
yep.
You know that is what Washington D.C. has kind of become, and you can hear it in the way they look down on people. They talk, and they don't actually try to solve problems. It's like they just have talk. Like, if I talk right, people vote for me, that's it, I'm good, and I don't try to solve problems. And it's really one of those things where it's a real disconnect. I believe a Ronald Reagan who really connected with the people in flyover country, people in the ivory towers, he connected.
Right.
We're going to have that again, and we'll get this back. I just don't think it's lost forever. We live now, this is a problem now, it's a massive problem now. But as we think about history, we've been through a lot, and we seem to cycle through everything. We really seem to have these ups and downs, and maybe, just maybe, we're going to wind up with a Ronald Reagan in the White House, and we'll start seeing, when we get that, we're going to start seeing senators and representatives that are representing the people, not some weird outlying, bizarre thing.
My favorite word is still aphorism, and a good aphorism is politicians and diapers should be changed regularly for the same reason.
Yeah, good point. All right, Terry, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Shoot them well.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, have a great rest of the day. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We are flip-flopping. If you just joined us, we've got plenty of time left, probably about a solid 40 minutes left today before I take off. And then we'll have Kevin Miller and my discussion. Actually, big discussion on digital currency of all things, right? Like, I'm an expert on digital currency, but that's what we talked about. And apparently, after hanging up with Kevin, the rest of the day went with a lot of folks that were are wound up about it. We're not here to talk about it today, I promise you that. Our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Talking about getting back to basics and thinking about this awful time. Now, we've laid down the foundation, right? We've already talked about how much fear there is. You can cut it with a knife. All the things that are wrong in the world. And it's all 100% true. It's really messed up out there. No doubt about it. Intentional? Sure. If we're going to change politics so that we can't get people to vote for us, what we need to do is we need crises so we can have executive orders and make those changes. I get it. Got it. Pretty dirty. And we are where we are, but we've been here before. And what we have to do is stop and evaluate things. So I teased this a little bit earlier. What do we do when our portfolios, what we really want to do is sell everything? What do you do in an environment of this much fear? Markets are up. Markets should be down. What the price-earnings ratios and all the things I hear babbled about are too high. Stocks have to come down. Then why is the S&P up over 15% year-to-date? I mean, S&P, the NASDAQ. Those were the very stocks that all the experts told you couldn't be owned. They were too expensive. In 3 months, they're up 15%. Experts. Yeah, buts. Just own it. Wrong again. Here's what all the experts were thinking, okay? What no one predicted was a global pandemic, the fastest 30% market drop ever in history. Record vaccine rollouts, pause in the global economy. Pause. How about a collapse in the global economy? Historically low market volatility. Huh? What? Double-digit returns. Massive recovery. Massive stock market increase. 2020 was not a down year in the middle of a global pandemic. And you can yeah-butt your way all around that, but the point here is this. Everybody's asking the same questions. What about China? What about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? As if that answer will tell you what the market will do. And it won't. You see what I'm getting at? No matter what we how much information we have, it's not enough. It's simply not enough. And it won't tell you what billions of human beings will do. If I only knew what interest rates were going to do. That's what they'll tell you every day, over and over, hour after hour, on CNBC. All the time. Because it's all about the Fed. Okay? And if you knew exactly what interest rates were going to do, what would you know? Well, you'd probably know how to trade bonds. Absolutely not stocks. Absolutely not. We have this gravitational pull to having certainty in things. We have to be certain about it. And we think all or none. Don't. Let's just think about this piece by piece. Piece by piece. And I'll go into more detail about this in the next hour. As to what I think people need to be doing right now? It's the same stuff we've been talking about. But you're sitting out there going, I moved it all to gold. I moved it all to cash. Because what we do is we do all or none. We do all or none. Imagine if you ran a business that way. I mean, think about that. Let's pretend like you're running Apple. And you're like, this thing over here, this new widget over here, I want to put 100% of our resources to that. Okay, it might work. But do you think it's always going to work? What if it failed? I mean, the world goes on and on with people and companies that are just like, oh, yeah, can you believe Kodak gave up the digital camera? Yeah. Why would you do that? Because they went all in on film processing. All in. All in. BlackBerry. I mean, the list goes on of companies that have great technology, incredible promise, and have ran all behind one thing and put blinders on. I'm going to own gold. That's what I'm going to do. That's what's in my safe. Okay? Don't bother me with facts. The world is ending. I need gold. Okay? For the past 200 years. Past 40 years. When I started in this industry, 40 years ago-ish. Gold was at $800 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was at $800. How's that worked out? Because 200 is too long. I can't think that way, and I don't want to think that way, and I don't care. How about $10,000, one-time investment 200 years ago? Are you ready? It's worth $5 billion plus. I can't quite see the, I think it might be $6 billion. I think it's $6.8 billion. Billion dollars. Bonds are worth $8 million. Gold is $26,000. Yeah, man alive, that's what I want. I want some of that. Some of what really has never worked, but is proclaimed every single day to be the thing, the only thing that has value. I'll take my billions of dollars over my, this is the only thing that has value thing. Well, should I be buying gold now? Should I be? Why? You're timing it again. Why? Why do we think we have to find the thing? Balanced, diversified, portfolios work over time. The best thing that's worked, of course, is stocks. Put them away. A diversified bucket of stocks has worked incredibly well. And we have a gravitational pull towards 10%, which is what $10,000 apparently does over, it grows to $8 billion or $6 billion over a 200-year period. Where if you get less than the rate of inflation, you wind up with $26,000 in gold. What does gold do? Nothing. Nothing. It sits as a pretty brick. So I don't know, maybe the point, next time you want to go buy gold and you're hiding the quarter, doing all or none, why don't you turn on this little video, okay? It's Bob Newhart. He's great. Called Stop It. Just go ahead and Google it. I'm sure there's millions. It'll be the first thing. Bob Newhart, Stop. It'll come right up. It's a YouTube video. Fantastic. Watch it. Watch it over and over again. It'll help. It'll help. Okay, I'm going to dive into actually a couple of things that we can do in the next, right after we take our break here at the top of the hour. And when we come back, I'm going to talk about what a portfolio should look like today, specifically. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We'll be right back. Hello, welcome, and thank you for joining us. We've got a nice little stretch here. About 20 minutes today left in our live broadcast. I will be talking about today what I think people ought to do in this age of super fear. Super fear. what I think, honestly, is super fear, as bad as it was 40-plus years ago, towards the end of Jimmy Carter, before Reagan came in. Both on a geopolitical basis, the economy was in shambles, interest rates hit 21%. You remember it, or you read about it. But you know what? We can't feel it. You can't feel the emotion of that day, the hopelessness. You can't feel that because the emotion has been, the problem was resolved. We just worked our way through it. What hasn't been resolved is today. JoJo and company running the country, the world into the ground. And collectively us, we all get the government we ask for. It's what we get. Anyway, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But first, Crystal is up to bat because Crystal called in, and we've got to get to her before the end of this program. Crystal, go ahead, please. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. So I wanted to run a strategy past you for inflation and just see what you thought. With my IRA, I want to retire in about 10 years. And, you know, I've seen what's happening right now to people that are in retirement and their IRAs are shrinking and not keeping up with inflation. And so one of the strategies I would like to try to employ is to get 20% of my IRA into real estate and actually active real estate. I actually have a couple of properties that are yielding like 9% return on investment annually, and then that doesn't include the appreciation because housing is appreciating at a minimum of 3% and much more in some other markets like ours in Idaho. And just seeing what you think about that so that when I get to retirement, if there's another big mess like we have right now, then I'll actually be getting a stable return from those, you know, those rents coming in, and I can use that as part of, you know, to withdraw that instead of being in a mess where the stock prices are down and returns are down. Even though stocks are, you know, traditionally 7.5% annually every year, even in the bad market, just across the whole market for the last 50 or 60 years. What do you think of that strategy?
Crystal, I don't have a problem with diversifying into a little bit of real estate. I really don't. It's not my preferred because I don't want the work associated with it, okay? I own a building. I own my house. Both feel like a little bit of a pain in the butt to me. Pardon me. Just because you have to take care of things. And this another reason I don't have other properties that I'd rather rent when we travel, because I don't want to take care of other things. And I completely understand people wanting to do that. I do. But for me, I don't want the job, and I certainly don't want renters. And that's for me is an easy part. The second part of that is that, you know, fixing things and the depreciation and all that. Again, I'm not denying your numbers. I just don't. There is not consistent cash flow because you are going to have things that break, and then there goes your cash flow for several months, you know, to put in a new furnace or whatever it is, right? So we know that those things ebb and flow as far as cash flow. But you bring up a great point in that instead of focusing on income for retirement, and this is the key thing, I believe that what people ought to be focused on is sustaining themselves through any downturn, whether that downturn includes real estate being vacant or problematic, needing it fixed up, or it's the market down. If I need the market to be up in order to eat this month, I've got problems. I mean, I've got big problems, not because the market happens to be down this month, but it will be next month or the month after. It doesn't go straight up. So we have to have buckets of money. And now we're actually being paid on those buckets. So it was a lot harder 12 months ago. I mean, a lot harder. And I was not recommending people set aside anything in bonds and anything in cash because it was earning zero. That's not a strategy. That's death. Death by no earnings, right? And so we had to come up with other solutions. But nowadays, we have an opportunity to be in a 60% stock, 40% bond portfolio. If you want 20% real estate, you like taking care of it, that's fine. But I would go from there and say, well, 20, 25% in bonds and the rest in stocks is a great portfolio. But key is income generation. When you say the market's down and what do I do? My income is actually up from 12 months ago. all the stocks collectively, mm-hmm. not all of them in the portfolio, but mm-hmm. collectively, the dividends on the S&P 500 are higher than they were 12 months ago. Now, that's mm-hmm. counterintuitive because we think of the market being down, but the income that's being provided is actually up. And it is almost every year. I think something like 3 years in the last 70 has the market not increased its income. And collectively over that period, it's up 9% per year. Now, I'll take a 9% rising stream of income all the days of my life, no matter how long I live. That's what I'm more interested in. But people have to have 3 to 5 years set aside. Now, that doesn't mean it's in cash. What I mean is you can have some in cash, some in bonds, which should be, I think they're buyable now. But the key here is that I don't have to sell. So if I'm getting 3% collectively from my portfolio, but I want to take out 4, I really only have to set aside 1% additional that can't go bump in the night, but I'll probably have that anyway. And that way I can sustain through any bear market that I need to before I'd ever have to sell any of my, quotes, seed corn. So I don't have a problem with the strategy. I just want you to kind of, as you're thinking about retirement and heading that direction, think about it differently. You're talking about income generation and make sure that you're set up that you can sustain any kind of a downturn, because it's not like you're going to turn around and go, and I only want to live on the rents I'm collecting on my real estate. You know, you collect mm-hmm. it from everything. Collect your dividends. That's not selling your stock. Collect your dividends. Right. Collect your interest on right. your bonds. Collect your right. rent. All of that together is what your income is, and just make sure it's cost of living adjusted, and you're in great shape.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Crystal. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. And our number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO, dave@petsofinancial.net. All right, final 10 minutes or so that we have. Let's talk about the portfolio today in the age of super fear, and it is. I'm not making fun of that. It's super fearful. We've talked about overreacting, thinking of this as all or none. We have got to be thinking, I just touched on this with Crystal. Set aside 3 to 5 years worth of income, or whatever percentage you think is now, oh, okay, I'm all right. So if you're in retirement, do we all go out and go, I'm okay with the 1 year CD? Just give me that 5% 1 year CD. I'm okay. I'm okay with that. And that's it. While inflation erodes any ability for you to take that money out, it's not a strategy. It's a fear. Don't do all or none. Is it okay to have a couple years worth of income needs in a CD? Yes. What about U.S. government floating rate mortgages? Huh? Also yielding 5 with daily liquidity. Daily liquidity. You mean I don't have to put it in for a year? No. For a day. Oh. There's lots of stuff. Money markets are 4.5% out there now. Risk-free treasuries, money markets, U.S. government floating rates. All those things have gotten up to the point where we have alternatives for income. And they should have that in your portfolio. We couldn't set aside any cash before because it lost money every year. It earned zero. Now we can. There's more certainty, even though you don't feel it. Please, just set aside and think of this logically. Okay? There's more certainty going forward that you can take 4 or 5% income out of your account in retirement than there has been for more than 15 years. Because you can put money in bonds now. You can put money in preferred stocks. Preferred stocks on publicly traded REITs and all these exciting other things out there. And getting 6, 7% high quality corporate bonds. All kinds of things. With a percentage of your money, but the best investment always has been growth of income-wise. The income story is the S&P 500, the great corporations of the world, the greatest corporations in America. It's always been the story. It's the greatest story never told, the greatest income story never told. put the money in the S&P, put it away. And if you want, put it in the dividend payers of the S&P, walk away. You never have to spend another minute reading the Wall Street Journal, watching CNBC, or whatever other news program that you want to drive you crazy about how the world is ending. Just stop it. Just stop running around. What about the currency? What about gold? What about this? What about that? What about it? Like we've never faced this before. What happens 30 years ago when Japan decides not to own the treasury bonds? What are we going to do about Japan? If we could only be more like Japan, they said. They wrote books. They commented. Japan's going to take us down. Oh, okay. Remember the hyperinflation? Gotta buy gold. Gotta buy gold. Gotta buy gold. Real assets. That's the only thing that works. $800 an ounce for gold 40 years ago. Today, it is at $2,000. Not one dividend paid. It's a pretty brick. It sits on the wall. On the wall. On the floor. That's it. It can't do anything. It can't become more productive. It can't generate anything. Except what it actually does when we contemplate it more is it generates fear. Because all the people that sell gold are dealing in what? Gold? No. Fear. Life is fear. I don't know if I'm going to make it home. I don't know if I or somebody else is going to stroke out on a golf course today. Seriously, we don't know. I don't know when a bad diagnosis is going to happen in my family. We don't know. You don't know what's going to happen in the financial markets. It's life. We don't know. So set aside a couple of years, whatever makes you feel good. But quit thinking of this as all and none. Quit trying to figure it out. What's wrong with us? Watch that video. I told you about it. Stop it. Just stop it. Stop acting like that. But I can't. Stop it. S-T-O-P, new word, I-T. Stop it. We can do that. But I really like watching. Stop it. Turn it off. We don't have to act like this. And we don't have to feel it. So if it really bothers you that the market is this and that, and it bothers me too, I feel sick. Just go ahead and let some cash build up because now you're being paid for it. It's okay. It's what we've been doing because it's okay. It's all right. It's okay to have a little bit of money in bonds now. It wasn't before. It is now because you're getting paid something on it. But if you go buy a bond or preferred stock or whatever it is and you expect it to go up tomorrow, you are wrong. You are dead wrong. You don't get to pick the bottom. But the opportunities are great anywhere near bottoms. So you can start leaning your portfolio back to a 60-40. I prefer maybe 60-30-10. 10-ish what? Maybe in some of these publicly traded REITs. Publicly traded. They have to have some liquidity. Add stability, add some nice income, a little bit of cost of living adjustment over the years. Boring, boring. Generate income. Think income. Finally, let's just quit looking all the time. When you look all the time, it frightens you more. It does. It does for all of us. I have to look, okay? So I have to look. It's my job. I look, but I don't sit around and try to figure out the new trading program. I look, see what's going on, but I don't try to figure out what's going on day to day. I don't. I look, see, oh, that's interesting. You know, we've been wanting to buy into this particular area, and it's really down a lot this week. Well, let's nibble there. That's all. High-level look at all things. Do you know a basic S&P 500, 60, 70% stocks, 30, 40% bonds, has performed exactly equal with the geniuses of the world, quotes the endowments, and their private equity, and their billions of dollars, and all this stuff that they've got access to. And you don't. But you do, actually. But just a basic portfolio. Literally, 1 year crushed them. 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, 15 year, guess what? The same. The same. Same returns. Running around with your hair on fire, hiring all the experts. Here we go. Oh, we got it. And we got private equity. Doesn't that sound really good for cocktail parties? It's like, wow, wow. I'm going to throw out some private equity terms, and you watch my friends go, whoa, dude has got it going on. That guy's got it going on. And you have no better returns over the last 5, 10, 15-year periods. No better. Being a dummy, just putting it away, leaving it alone. The best investor in the whole wide world is a person that has forgotten their portfolio. Fidelity did that study a number of years ago. Dead people outperform live people every day by a ton. I know, but you got it. Let that stuff keep coming in. Keep piping it in. Hyperdrive if you can. If soon you'll be able to link up with the computer and you can get more data super fast. That'll help get good perspective, don't you think? But it's not you. It's everybody else. You and I, we got this. We're able to take in massive amounts of data and really not have an effect on us. Do you really think that's true? Do you? So what do? You're afraid. Isn't there something to do? Yes, I just said it. Set aside 3 to 5 years worth of income in things that don't go bump in the night. They also generate income. They didn't a year ago. I say 3 to 5 years because you know what? That you more than can outlast the bear markets now. Yeah, but I'm really okay. Put 10% more in something that's super low risk. 20%. There's a lot of money to be made in the low risk category as well. Even more, of course, than the no risk. Quite a bit more. And don't look. If dead people outperform all living people, let's think about that a lot. A lot. Dwell on it. We're going to get through this. I know it's a tough time. It most certainly is. I appreciate you listening today. As always, if you have comments and questions, petsofinancial.com. Thanks for joining us.